Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
If you could gauge how effective this collaborative content strategy has been, has it been effective?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, our if you look at some of our other sites, such as, you know, dataqualitypro.com or our traditional kind of data media sites that we've done, they're virtually all built on a collaborative model. You know, and that's the irony. You know, we would interview people to get their ideas on how to do a specific project. They would do the interview just as I'm doing now. So it's a kind of a collaborative thing. They would share some ideas. I would share some ideas. And some of those people have gone on to buy products from our sponsors. You know, £200,000, £300,000 products. They've just gone out and bought them.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez LeBret and Micah Gadia.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret, and we have the amazing, incredible... See, I want to use more words than Sean used, because one is not enough to describe Micah Gadia, who is the backbone of everything that we do here. Hello, Micah.
Hello, Jabez. I'm so glad to be here with you. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm very good.
I was thinking before we had our guest that's coming on here today, I was actually literally just thinking about doing a huge project that is exactly what he is talking about.
Oh.
So I am personally stoked, because it's always nice to have a guest on where I look forward to hearing some of the tidbits that we have today. And we're blessed to have Dylan Jones. Dylan Jones coming from the other side of the water from us.
Yes.
Over there on the England side.
And back he's from again.
Back again. I know.
Right.
Well, he was so popular the first time.
Yep.
That we had to bring him back. And this time we have a really exciting show, kind of revolving around content, some different angles on content, some important key components before you start writing your content. And we're going to learn some lessons about a few specific details that are kind of getting left out when it comes to content creation and delivery. So I'm very excited about that. You can get more information about Dylan at pivotalcontent.com. That's pivotalcontent.com. And you can also find him in our group, because
yes,
he is a mastermind ninja group member.
Yes, he's created some of my best content in our Missing Link LinkedIn group. You know, there's a question gets posed, and, you know, Dylan will whip up this, you know, 20-minute, like, you know, little piece of content that leads you exactly where you want to go. So he's amazing, and I'm so excited to have him back again as well.
He's like a content surgeon. Just comes in and just knifes right in the perfect amount of content, right with the answer you need. But so how do people get into this group? Because this is a, as I call it, a speakeasy group, as in you got to know how to get in to be able to find it here.
It's true. Well, here's how you do it. And we totally want you to join us if you're ready to get your, you know, LinkedIn marketing surgeon skills up to par. So if you are in the continental United States, you will take out your mobile device, you will text 41411, and the keyword there will be mylink, M-Y-L-I-N-K, and you'll need to take out that space because it will autocorrect. Again, that's 41411, mylink is the keyword. And if you're outside of the continental United States, you will simply send an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm, and we'll get you an invite as soon as we can.
Sounds fantastic. Join the group. It's super active. There's lots of awesome information there. And as soon as we get back from this quick message from our sponsors, we're going to jump right into the show, because I don't want to waste any more time not learning from what Dylan's got to teach
That's
us
right.
today about content. So quick shout out to our sponsors, and we'll talk to you all soon.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on The Missing Link. Today, I am joined with Micah Gadea, as always, our rock and center. And welcome back to Dylan Jones. Thank you for coming, Dylan.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me back on the show, guys.
And I think it's like, what, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. there where you are? No, I'm just kidding. But we do appreciate you staying up a little late to get this interview going, as always. And we have some incredible information to share today. Mm-hmm. And when I read what you wanted to talk about today, I got excited because I'm jumping into a project that is exactly what you're going to be talking about with regards to creating content. But you mentioned it's something interesting, Dylan. You said before you can jump into content, there was a crucial step that had to be taken first. And I think that as marketers and business owners and you know, people out there, you know, trying to make a mark, we sometimes get a little ahead of ourselves and we forget to step back for a second and do some planning and process improvement and definitions and understanding. And it's your PVP. And we're not talking communicable disease here. We're talking primary value proposition, right? And I think that's so crucial. Dylan, kind of walk us through what this is and why it's important.
Sure. Okay. Well, one of the things I often see, you know, when people say, oh, LinkedIn's not working for me, I'm not getting any leads, or I'm just not building a business on LinkedIn. When you actually look at the way their profile is set up, quite often you'll see that they're trying to be like the Walmart of LinkedIn. Yeah, they're offering a little bit of something for everyone because they want to cast this huge big net because they want to catch fish in every industry, in every country, in every region. What you have to do on LinkedIn is remember that you have to be memorable. Okay, so the key is to, a lot of people have heard of value propositions. Okay, so what, you know, it's a widely used term, but not a lot of people actually know really what it is. And the key with a primary value proposition is to pick one of your most effective propositions for a very, very targeted customer segment. And the way a value proposition is set up, it's just really understanding what are the pains of your customer, what are the gains they want to achieve, and what are the jobs they have to do. Okay, and then focus all your content, all your solutions, all your proposition around just really understanding those. So, for example, instead of if you're creating databases, you don't want to create databases for every sector, every rank and file within your organization. Focus on one function within the organization and start off with one sector. Narrow down on that niche and then build out from there. Because if you go too broad, people just forget who you are on LinkedIn. So you have to go very, very focused.
I'm a huge fan of niching and understanding it. More than that, though, like you're saying, like the value that you add, what do you bring specifically to that group? You snuck in like two words, the pain of the customer. And I think that is one thing that we forget to make sure is written down is what pain are we solving?
Right.
So what pain are we alleviating? What pain are we fixing? What does our product or service or business or us personally, how are we actually taking care of helping someone avoid a pain or to fix that pain? And, you know, it's not just about pain crying uncle here. It's about, you know, we have problems and are we solving those problems? But on the flip side of that, you talk about not trying to be the Walmart. I mean, Micah, we've talked about this specifically. You do more than just copy blogger.
Correct.
Like what? Tell the audience your other businesses.
Well, in Rainmaker, you know, for Rainmaker Digital, I do this podcast. I am the liaison for our certified content writers. I manage the affiliates, and I do, you know, other various project work. I'm also a mom, and I have an art show this weekend. And I'm a blogger. I'm a mommy blogger. Is that what you're asking?
Yes. You're an artiste and a mommy blogger. And I know that you and I had this exact conversation about how do I put both of these things on LinkedIn.
Right. Yes. And
Now, it can get worse, right? Some people out there have like 12 different things that they're trying to do. And they're trying to put all of those. And I think, you know, Dylan, what you're saying is don't try to add all 12 things into your headline.
Yeah, because I think people are still trapped by the notion that LinkedIn – your profile on LinkedIn has to look like a CV. It doesn't. Right. If you're trying to sell something and your family depend on that solution that you're selling, you don't have to make it look like a CV. You make it look like a website. So, you know, you'll see whenever you try and connect with someone on LinkedIn, if you look in your profile, you can see who's trying to look at your look at your profile. I'm on the premium package. I can see who's looking. And I know every time I connect with someone, they look at my profile. And I know they probably give it maybe 10 seconds maximum. So you have to be very, very focused. And it has to be about them. Yeah, if you want to sell to a CFO, if you want to sell to a CFO in the retail industry, you need to say, we help CFOs in the retail industry achieve XYZ. Yeah, and I think that's the problem that a lot of people have, is they try and create their profile around the CV concept. Of, like, literally, you'll see, I started in 1965 and then in 67 and then, and it's just, it's gone. People have gone.
Wait, you're saying it's not fascinating to read a year by year, line by line description of all the experience that you have?
That's what the rest of the profile is for. A lot of people will just replicate what's underneath, don't they? So you don't need to do that. You just need to say very, very simply, I specialize in helping frustrated CFOs achieve double-digit growth by doing XYZ.
I love that.
If you're that CFO and you're frustrated and you can't achieve those results, then you're going to want to find out more. And you don't have to give them war and peace about what you do. You just need to hook them in. And that's where the content comes in. Okay. So you'll see the summary and then they'll start to see content. And if that content is aligned to that customer segment as well, bingo. Okay, right. That's when the magic happens, and that's when you can start to pull them into other areas of your content, your website, your whole brand.
Micah, what did you think of what he said when he said, "I help frustrated CFOs solving"? I mean, like, did that resonate with you at all?
It did a little bit. I wanted to be the CFO and have my frustration fixed by him. Like, that was my first instinct.
Yeah, I love that because it brings emotion into the the, you know, kind of your niche or your positioning statement. And I think that's so important to be able to tap into the actual emotion of the person. And that emotion and being able to tap in and explain clearly what problems you solve and what you do goes beyond just your profile. And that's where I thought this was so important, is that PVP really starts to kind of help you align and dictate content. I mean, right? Like, that's kind of the next general step there would be, this should help you with some content, I would imagine.
Absolutely. If you have a very, very clear image of who you want to serve with your content and your resources and your solution, it becomes so much easier to create content. You know, for example, if you say you're selling, I don't know, analytical software to marketers. Okay, someone in banking is going to have a completely different set of problems to someone in pharmaceuticals. Okay, so you know, so focus on that banking sector if that's the expertise you have, and then you can create all research, content, resources, checklists, guides focused on banking. You will stand out massively compared to someone who's just a generalist, who's just a kind of jack of all trades.
Now you're a big fan of the hub and spoke methodology. Can you kind of walk us through to the LinkedIn users who aren't familiar with using this? Like, what exactly does that mean?
Sure. Okay. So we've already talked about PVP. Okay. And PVP is really about understanding that target audience and the big pain points they have. And they will tell you that my biggest issue is, you know, I don't know how to solve this, or I have trouble with ABC or whatever it is. What you do is you create the most useful guide you can, or the big pillar content, as some marketers call it, for that particular persona, or, you know, that customer segment. Okay, so for example, in some of my industries, I've created a checklist, like a 60-point checklist, and that has generated literally hundreds of thousands of downloads, and it's on number one on Google for 8 years, for example, one of the checklists we created. So that's great, but what you want to have that on your central website, okay? So that's like your primary lead generation vehicle, and then what you do is you create so that's your hub, okay? So everything's coming into the hub, and then what you do,
so your website's your hub, or where your point of transaction is, I guess.
It's
the hub.
Absolutely. So it's like, if you think of it like a metro center, where you have you might live, you know, outside Dallas, and so the hub is Dallas. Okay, so the traffic is flowing in to Dallas, and then you just create different spokes, like you have a metro station, you have these different stations coming in to the center of Dallas. Okay, so the way we typically set that up is, again, repurposing. So you, for example, that checklist or guide I was talking about, you could create 4, 5, 10 pieces of content that all channel traffic back in to that central hub. So in our case, for our checklist, we've created an education channel for it. We've done webinars for it. We've done numerous blog posts about it, podcasts, tweets. You can do so many different things. But obviously on LinkedIn, you've got this perpetual kind of spoke engine where you can constantly post status updates, mm-hmm. you can post YouTube videos. So it works really well. And one of the biggest frustrations people have is they say, I can't generate leads off LinkedIn. And it's because typically because they're just writing sort of thought pieces on LinkedIn Pulse or the general opinion pieces or kind of philosophical musings. Add value, add you the best resources you can, and then drive them back to your website where you can get that transaction going, get that contact collected, and then you can start to nurture them through your lead generation engine.
So, Mike, have you ever been to Dallas?
Yes, I have.
I don't know that anybody uses public transportation in Dallas.
I did not.
I'm just kidding. If anybody does in Dallas, I would like to know about this because I've been to Dallas a few times and have been missing. But I love the point here of LinkedIn is one of the components of the spokes.
Yep.
And you've got your groups, you've got your Pulse network, you've got your profile. These can all be considered spokes. And it is about maximizing your yield, repurposing content. You've already spent the time to do the content. And we talked about this in a recent episode, getting more legs out of that content, really goes a long way. I like the idea. I think it can be a challenge because, precisely what you touched on, Dylan, thought leadership type pieces don't tend to lend as well to this kind of process. And that sometimes they are good at developing you as a thought leader, but not always the best at driving traffic or helping you actually achieve business goals. So you talk about certain kinds of content that do well with that. And I think that it's really important for our listeners, because we've talked a lot about Pulse and we've talked a lot about content creation and becoming a thought leader and writing your opinion pieces. What other kind of content are you using or are you creating that is driving? I mean, the checklist is great, but what's kind of the larger concept around your content, direction and editorial guidelines?
Okay. Well, one of the top tips I can give in this area is we have a process called 100 profiles. And what we do is we look at 100 people who perfectly match the profile of the people we want to do business with, or we want to become our members on our media sites or whatever. And we get that very, very focused. And obviously using LinkedIn, you can specify the size of the company, you can specify their title, all these different things. And then what we do is we create a database of 100 people, and that can tell you everything you need to know about that person. They will list the skills and the tasks they have to do, the jobs they have to do. So they will say, I'm doing this in my role, I'm doing this and this and this. If you click on the view recent activity for those people, that will show you exactly which websites they're going to, what content they're sharing. So it tells you about the demographic in terms of what content they want to consume, because if they're sharing it, they're consuming it, they're reading it. So by doing that, you will find everything you want to know about that audience. And then we just, once we have that profile built up, we then follow up and we ask them, what content do you want? So we have this kind of loop back process where we ask people, they tell us, we do the research as well, so we can see, the content they like. So for example, some of the most popular content we've had on some of our IT media sites has been around simple things like creating how to create a policy document, or how to create a project management checklist, or how to compare two different products, because these are the problems that our target profile have to solve every day. It's really simple. You just understand the problems they have in their daily working life, and you give them simple resources that can help them. Now, another thing you can do is actually get these guys to collaborate on the content itself. And that's been hugely popular for us, where we kind of do it as a bit of a mission So we can reach out to people and say, hey, we're on a mission to create the best policy document or the best project plan or the best governance charter for your industry. Do you want to join in? And they might only give you one or two lines, but all of a sudden you have this crowdsourced content, mm-hmm. this kind of collaborative content. And that becomes powerful because you can then reach out to anyone and say, hey, do you want to join in? So you're not selling, you're just adding value, building resource, and then that you'll gradually bring these contacts over to your hub as well. So yeah,
step one, and just to make sure that everybody caught this, step one was to find some people that are basically your good target market for who you're trying to attract here. And Micah, didn't you and Sean did an episode recently where it was the Jabezing episode? Did I say that right?
Jabezing. Yeah. Exactly who is Jabezi? And I love, and I want to go to the end of this. And amazing, if anyone, you know, contributes to this, you know, checklist that they've all created, they're all going to share it out.
Absolutely. And you credit them, you know, and you, and this is exactly what we did. We started off with 50 checklist points, and then we had people in the comments, so they would add more and more. Now, of course, you've got LinkedIn Pulse, okay? So you can put it in there, and then if people share it, then you're reaching out to their network as well, which brings us on to the whole idea of, you know, you must be aggressively building up your connection list. But now you've got something useful you can share with them. You can say, hey, you know, we're on a mission to help your profile. You know, so you're not selling your software or you're not pitching your wares or whatever. You make your content more about the mission of helping these people. And this is kind of what we did with our sites. When I first got started in 2008, I just said, well, I'm going to create a magazine for my industry to ride it on the back with my consultancy services. So you reduce that friction because most people are very nervous about, you know, connecting with people who they think they're going to pitch them a few minutes later.
Whereas likes to be pitched at.
No. So I mean, there's a friend of mine who recently changed his title to blogger in chief, and his connection rate increased. Because it reduced the friction of when he was making a connection request.
I should change my headline from "I'm going to sell the crap out of you" to something a little more. I'm joking, guys.
Yes, Jabez. Yes,
change. That was a joke I will never tell again because I guess that just was not fun.
That's good.
There's two parts to this thing that kind of jumped out at me, which is number one, you've got multiple hubs and spokes, so you don't just have to have one hub. There are, you know, I'm creating this collaborative content piece, and then maybe that hub is your profile on LinkedIn, or maybe that hub is your Pulse article, and then that's going to draw to another hub somewhere else. So you can, like, it has more layers than just one layer, which I think is great. And the whole idea of contributing first, and then just knowing that if you contribute well, business will come.
Right.
And it's not like froofy. It's like, you know, you're being a good business citizen. You're out there trying to teach, educate, grow, connect. And I love that collaborative approach and then using that to contribute some good knowledge because, you know, research and data matters. And getting a bunch of people together that can share and help you collaborate on that, I think could have a huge impact on just the reach of that content piece.
Yeah, and they're all bought in too. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, you're committed at that point. As like, if Dylan, you reach out to me, and you're like, you know, and I only give you one or two sentences, I still feel a bit like an owner, of what you've created. Absolutely. And so, yeah.
Have you gotten any, Dylan? Oh no, that's okay. I just wanted to know if you've gotten any other kind of like things that have come out of those specific connections. So it's one thing to have people contribute to a piece of content because they're adding value to the content and that content's going to drive business. But what about the relationships with those people that are contributing?
Sure. Well, they tend to fall into two camps. One camp will be collaborators and other influencers who can help sort of pull into your media brand, if you like. So, for example, within my industry, there's probably a core of, say, 20 of us who routinely – help each other with content. So I will appear on someone's site, they will appear on mine, I will go to their event, they will come to mine. So for example, we launched a virtual summit, and that was made up of, you know, I asked 20 people within my industry, would they appear? And they all said yes. And they all came from this kind of collaborative model we've used over the years. So that's one way, which is to help you build your brand, okay? But everyone wins in that sense, because people might be in slightly different industries or have slightly different focus. Some people might be selling services, some might be selling products. So you're not all competing. And even if you are competing, it's still a huge market to go after. So that's one idea, is that you can get influencers and collaborators type profiles, you know, partnership type profiles. But yeah, certainly on the other side, you know, people who have collaborated in terms of customer profiles, yeah, we've been able to do work with them. For example, I mean, I've been doing some research recently with marketers, tech marketers, and I've just reached out to them and say, hey, look, I'm just doing some research to find the number one challenge you as a tech marketer have with content marketing. What's your biggest issue? And I thought people would send me one or two lines. We get literally pages of people just venting their spleen about, well, yeah, we can't get this software to work, or I can't get my sales and marketing team to work. We don't get any budget. And these are big firms. And we've had several, because we do coaching services around LinkedIn and specifically, you know, in some IT sectors in particular. So, you know, we've not done the research to sell, but these people will tell us what their problem is. We then help create content. They like the content, and then obviously they'll see that we have some consulting on the back of it as well, and they've signed up for the consulting because they go, well, yeah, you've just solved our problem. Can you help train the team on how to do it? Yeah. So it has definitely led to leads, because if like I said before, that your value proposition is three elements to it. It's the jobs that the person has to do, it's the pains that they're experiencing, and it's the gains they want to achieve. Okay. So if your content is aligned to those, people will trust you to take on board, you know, more of that coaching that you want to do, or that product that you want to sell. It's just the trust factor. Okay. And I say 99% people don't do that.
If you could gauge how effective this collaborative content strategy has been, has it been effective?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our if you look at some of our other sites, such as, you know, datacualitypro.com or our traditional kind of data media sites that we've done, they're virtually all built on a collaborative model. You know, and that's the irony. You know, we would interview people to get their ideas on how to do a specific project. They would do the interview just as I'm doing now. So it's a kind of a collaborative thing. They would share some ideas. I would share some ideas. And some of those people have gone on to buy products from our sponsors. You know, 200, 300,000 pound products. They've just gone out and bought them. So, fantastic. Yeah, by pulling them into our community, yeah, we've had sales, but obviously they've helped us build traffic. So yeah, this kind of whole ecosystem around collaboration is really, really powerful. But certainly when you're looking to get a foothold on LinkedIn in those you know, in the first few months, for example, just by going to your audience, and you start with your ex-customers, your past customers, because they'll be in that profile, and you just say, hey, you know, what's the biggest problem you've got, and just create some content, refine it with their input, you know, because quite often they'll know just as much as you.
Right.
And then just build it, and you kind of get this snowball. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can just grow it from there.
So I've got one last question that I ask at the end of every episode, which is, if you were talking to a really advanced LinkedIn user, what would be one piece of advice that you would give them?
Oh, good question. Fantastic question. I would say focus a lot more on the measurement, and see one of the things I did was I would do things on gut feel. And one of the things we're doing a lot more lately is really understanding where the traffic is coming from and how that traffic is actually converting into business. So one of the things we've been doing is using our email management software to see where that person came from on LinkedIn. Because obviously you have a disconnect as they come from LinkedIn to your site. You kind of, you know, you lose them a little bit. So by actually looking at your email software, and what we do is we just link that up to a database. So, and then we pull the LinkedIn data for them. We can see, okay, this is the person who maybe liked one of my pieces of content, or this is the person who we connected to 6 months ago. And you, it's really important to understand what you're doing on LinkedIn and how that is driving the bottom line, particularly if you're working in a bigger organization, but especially if you're a small business, because you need to know what's working and why. I think too many people just throw mud at the wall and hope it sticks. So yeah, I would say get focused on measurement and really analyze where your contacts are coming from and how that's equating to tangible growth in your business.
I love it. Using an email data to find out the real awesomeness.
Yeah, and what's working, what's not, and let's keep doing what's working.
Keep doing what's working. Yeah. That should be our motto.
It is our tagline for today.
It is for today. Dylan, thank you so much for taking time. We really do appreciate you've been such a huge contributor to this group and to this podcast, and we really just do appreciate everything that you've done.
No problem. I love this show. I love the group. I love everything you guys are about. So yeah, happy to come on anytime. Fantastic. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. I want to finish up, too, and say that Pivotal Content is actually built on the sponsor of our show, the Rainmaker Platform. So definitely take a look at Pivotal Content to see what you could do if you're looking for a new website platform.
Awesome.
I just had to put that in
all
there.
Coming together. No, that's fantastic, Dylan. I didn't even know. That's awesome. Yep. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. My name is Jabez LeBret. I'm joined with Micah Gadia and Dylan Jones today on The Missing Link, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.